The push for sanctions comes after long-standing claims by the right-wing African advocacy group AfriForum, which critics describe as white nationalist. The group argues that white South Africans are being unfairly targeted. Although these claims have been widely dismissed, AfriForum continues to lobby for U.S. action. Back in May, President Cyril Ramaphosa traveled to Washington with a delegation of white South African business leaders and officials to meet with President Donald Trump and counter these claims. But Trump has continued to apply pressure, including inviting white South Africans to apply for refugee status in the U.S. AfriForum has welcomed the proposed U.S. sanctions. Here is Ernst Van Zyl, a representative of the group.
AfriForum welcomes this bill being one step closer to realization, seeing as it is exactly what we've been advocating for, targeted sanctions rather than sanctions that target South Africa as a whole, and sanctions that target specifically those politicians that are corrupt and are getting away with corruption, and those that are pushing laws that amount to abuse of human rights. So I think this bill is right on the money, and that's why AfriForum welcomes it, and we'll see where it goes.
At the same time, President Trump has slapped a 30% tariff on all South African exports to the U.S., further damaging relations between the two countries. President Ramaphosa responded to both the proposed sanctions and the new tariffs, saying South African businesses are already feeling the pressure.
Our producers are already feeling the pressure that is coming. And we are saying we are engaging with the United States. We are in discussions with them. My visit to the United States was to open that door for engagement. And I'm hoping that those negotiations will bear fruit.
While the sanctions and tariffs are officially described as trade-related, some experts believe they are politically driven. They point to South Africa's role in the BRICS alliance, its support for the International Criminal Court's genocide case against Israeli officials, and its non-aligned stance on global politics. Ramaphosa says South Africa must now look for new trade partners, especially in Africa.
We need to be looking at other markets. And by definition, being an African country with the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, we've got to see how we open up the rest of the continent.
As tensions with the U.S. rise, Ramaphosa is turning to South Africa's historic allies for support. Over the weekend, the ANC hosted leaders of former liberation movements from Angola's MPLA, Mozambique's Frelimo, Namibia's SWAPO, Tanzania's CMM, and Zimbabwe's ZANU-PF under the theme Defending the Liberation Gains. However, many of these movements are struggling. They face public anger, internal divisions, and pressure from younger generations who want change. At the summit, Zimbabwe's ruling party, ZANU-PF, admitted it has lost public support. Presidential spokesperson George Charamba blamed Western countries for trying to remove liberation movements from power.
We have seen the growth of some very negative forces which seek to undermine, if not overthrow, liberation movements. I can make reference to an organization which has just folded up and hallelujah, it did, Brandeis Foundation, right, which has been working quite assiduously to try and overturn liberation movements and liberation governments in quite a number of countries, succeeding partially here and there, but thankfully failing elsewhere. Now, that's defining the new environment within which liberation movements have to seek power, have to obtain power, have to exercise power as governing institutions. Otherwise, their survivability is in question.
But not everyone agrees. Former Mozambican President Joaquim Chissano, one of the few surviving founding members of Frelimo, offered a powerful warning. He said liberation movements must be honest about their failures.
It is crucial that we recognize that over time we made mistakes in many of our countries. We witnessed the weakening of democratic institutions, the growing distance between parties and citizens, the capture of public resources by private interests, and intolerance towards dissenting voices. In the name of unity, we silenced critical voices. In the name of stability, we closed the spaces for renewal. In the name of continuity, we did not create spaces for the active participation of youth and women in decision-making processes.
Among the former liberation movements at the meeting, Zimbabwe's ZANU-PF and Mozambique's FRELIMO stand out for their long histories of vote rigging, corruption, and human rights abuses, according to independent observers and rights groups. For Pacifica Radio KPFA, reporting from Grahamstown in Eastern Cape, South Africa, this is Garikai Chaonza.